Back everyone to Master of the Universe podcast. We're on episode 58, I believe, and today we're talking about 1982's the Slumber Party Massacre, or the Slumber Party Murders, or No, She Didn't Cancel. I'm not going to say any names, but with me as always the CJK motherfucker to the max and the man beast, the man beast himself, you know, Mr. Gabriel. Now guys, any news of the week, anything going on before we you know, talk about titties and asses?
Well, I got a couple of things. Not much, but I got a little bit. Jordan Peele ended up saying that he's going to be coming out with four new movies for this next decade. One in particular coming out next year in, I believe it's July. The movie is called Nope. N-O-P-E. Nope. Nope.
That's the Chris. Nope. Is it based on Chris? Nope.
It could be. I don't know. But as far as that goes, that he didn't give anything particular about this movie other than just to kind of give a hint about pretty much like all horror movies. He said there's nothing more particularly stranger, creepier, and even scarier than human beings themselves. So pretty much, if it's anything going to be like Get Out or Us, it's going to be, you know, human themed, but with some kind of psychological thriller in there. So that, I thought that was pretty neat. I was watching Interview with the Vampire this last weekend, and coincidentally, funny enough, it was announced that in the coming next year, AMC will have 8 episodes as an adaptation to the Anne Rice book, which is Interview with a Vampire. So they already have a director lined up for the first 2 episodes. As far as the rest episodes, there's nothing else yet, but it's supposed to premiere sometime next year. So if you're all into vampires, there's that. I thought that was pretty neat.
I'm married to one, so I know all about that.
Ooh, bloodsucker.
Y'all have no idea why I'm joking like that.
I don't. Go ahead and go fill us in on what's so fucking funny, Chris.
So in the future when we make vampire references, I can throw in my wife and it'll be okay. Everyone get the joke. But so she, like, I always have lights on in the place, and she hates that. And, like, I'm not going to lie, bro. I'm not. She hates fucking lights. Like, even during daytime, nighttime, anytime things go bad, right? She hates lights.
Anytime.
Yeah, you get it. So she hates lights because, like, she has, like, severe migraine issues very easily. She gets tipped off easily. And then the other thing is she's pale-skinned. And she's Mexican, but she's really, really pale-skinned. And so, like, like, she's all like, babe, I'm your vampire. I never go outside. I don't like lights being on.
Yeah. No, I'm the same way. I like lights on, but it has to be, like, one light somewhere. Like, I know you have all the fucking lights on in the house. Like, you'll be at Chris's house or apartment. He's got the fucking, the kitchen light on. The his living room makes, like, an L, so both lights are on each side of the L. He's got a lamp on in the living room when there's a light on, and then he'll have, like, it's like me. I have one light on, like, in my hallway, and then typically one light on in the kitchen, but they're, like, dim, and, like, that's really it. I don't like too much light, but I like, you know, I'm, like, right there in the middle, so that's fuck, because Chris has way too many fucking lights on, dude. His bill's, like, $40.
If I wake up in the middle of the night and I need to get water, if fucking ghosts appear, I gotta be ready for that shit.
Honestly, like, the same thing here, like, I don't like too much light, especially, like, if I'm drinking and everything. The only light I want on is just the damn TV, so I can play my damn random videos. But, I mean, when I'm drawing, I have to have that light on just to see what the hell I'm doing. But, I mean, yeah, I have to agree, man. Just so much nicer in the dark. I hate the damn sun. We can do without it. We don't need it. Turn it off.
Yeah, I love it when it's, like, a gloomy day. Today was kind of gloomy out here in San Antonio. So it was nice, not all fucking hot, not all sun everywhere. It was, you know, dark, and those are my favorite days. And you had mentioned Interview with the Vampire, and I hadn't seen that in forever. We'll definitely get into that one and mix them all up. We were talking about doing themes and stuff, but that kind of got kind of complicated just because what's streaming, what's you know. Then also, too, it just like I was thinking about it when we were doing this film. I was like, man, we're doing like 3 slashers in a row. I don't want to get all slashered out already, you know, because we're like, we're gonna do Halloween Resurrection next. So I like a kind of a mix. And we had talked about doing the Universal Monsters, mixing those in, and you know, so that's all gonna be fun as hell, dude. But Chris, for Gabe, I mean, was this your? How many times had you watched the Slumber Party Massacre, dude? Because I know you had even mentioned before we had got to it, you're like, well, I like part two a lot, but you know, to get to two, we should watch part one. You know, you're like, ah, it's all right. But yeah, I mean, what's your kind of history with the Slumber Party, dude?
Again, this is just like I love horror movies. I ended up playing a whole stream of them. Sometimes I just kind of look around for stuff, and this is just one of those movies that, you know, I watched a long time ago. It kind of pops up every now and then. You know, you get in that mood where you just kind of, you want to see more serial killers than you do want to see monsters, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. And this one, I watch it from time to time, but honestly, like, as much as this is a cult classic, part two is definitely by far, like, it's freaking weird. It's fucking great. I love it. It's completely different from part one, which I don't understand how they went that route the way they did with part two. But I suggested part one because I really wanted us to go ahead and get into part two. I just wanted us to have, like, I really think you guys would enjoy this, have like a great time with it. But the thing is that if you jump into it, you, as weird as it is, it's just one of those, like, you kind of want to know a little bit of background, and you have to watch, you don't have to, but it would make more sense if you watch part one to lead into two. So pretty much part one is nothing but, you know how they always make fun of horror movies and in these comedy TV shows or comedy cartoons and things like that, yeah, where they say, oh, let's all get together at summer camp, or hey, let's all have mm-hmm. a slumber party. And what does everyone usually joke around when they want to try to get scary? They always end up saying, oh, there's a killer on the loose and he killed people around this time. Well, this is basically one of those damn movies that they usually make fun of, because this is just like this is pretty much like one of the bases for horror movies out there. I mean, this is the typical hot girl getting ready to get together with her other hot girlfriends, you know, drinking beer, talk about the boys, and all of a sudden there's that random killer, you know, he's running around after topless girls, just ready to kill them, you know. It's this is just one of those damn movies, and it's fun, it's good, but it ain't great as part two, man. Part two is definitely a classic, though.
I'm open to part two. I'll watch it. I'll check it out. I wasn't the hugest fan of this one, but I'm open to part two for sure. And, Joe, you know, fucking Jim Cornette's going to pop for this movie if you ever did see it, because fucking the killer looks like Kevin Dunn.
Yeah, he kind of does, dude. This one was, yeah, one of the first times, well, the first time I had always known about it. Of course, me being like a horror movie guy, I've always heard of, like, certain titles. I just never watched them. I'm always more into the paranormal. Like, for slashers, there's something, like, you know, back then at least, there were, like, too cheap for me to want to, like, be interested to watch. You know, cheap-looking, the way they're filmed. And, like, a lot of them in the 80s, like, people just, like, you're saying, started making these, like, style of movies and, like, coming up with, okay, it's an escape killer. And, like, it was funny because I was watching it. I always watch the film, like, twice, and then usually I'll watch a review. I said it before. And when I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, man, this is like a ripoff of, like, Halloween, you know. I was like, it's like, a lot of the stuff. And then, sure enough, like, I was checking out some reviews, and they're like, oh, Haddonfield and this and that. Like, I tell you guys about the Cinema Snob. And I was I was like, this, you know, but... You know, the funniest thing I think about this film is that the director's a chick. So you would think that with all the crazy generic, and then there's titties and ass everywhere, and, you know, that you would think, oh, this is like a, you know, I mean, if I was a director, this is exactly the kind of movie I would make. And me and Gabe were kind of like joking about that. You're like, dude, it'd be fun to make a movie. And I'm assuming, just based on, like, from what I saw, it's like, this director was like, well, what would guys like to see, you know? And, like, I guess that's what she went for, because that's, I mean, I enjoyed, you know, looking at it.
Can I ask you, when we say the director, are we talking about Rita Mae Brown?
Amy Jones.
Okay, that's the director. And then the writer of this film, the writer of this screenplay, was Rita Mae Brown.
Rita Miller.
That's being confused with Rita Miller or Oda Mae Brown, which probably where they got that from was that.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, usually for more complex films, we kind of go through the whole, you know, scene by scene. But, I mean, this one, I'm sure Gabe's going to give us a little synopsis of what happens, and we'll talk about the high points. This is kind of something that I would say, like, kind of, like, unless you're, like, a real Jason fan like I am, I'll talk about all the – I love all the characters. It was hard for me to remember everyone's name in this one, but the kills were the highlights. And if you're, like, new to Jason or Friday the 13th films, you're like, oh, well, this kill and this kill, unless you're a hardcore fan and you're like, oh, dude, and you're breaking down what the fuck was Jason thinking and, Genie thinking and all this and that, dude. But, I mean, you want to kind of give us a little background on the Slumber Party story, dude?
Well, yeah, I could go ahead and break that down, but there's not really much to break down. Just like the title says, you know, this is the Slumber Party Massacre. So, I mean, as far as the story, it's about a group of girls that happen to be teammates. You know, they all go to school together, and they're all playing basketball. You know, that they're, you know, typical girl team. You know, they're just playing around and having fun. They even talk. They're good friends with their coach. You know, they play their, you know, their team sports and all that. And then, sure enough, you know, here they all are. You know, taking a shower together, and it's so interesting, that shower scene. I kid you not. Like, you would think, like, oh man, why is the camera slowly moving towards, you know, all the asses in this, you know, shot? It slowly moves because they're taking off their clothes, so you see them all in their panties and bras and everything. Then it goes to, you know, the tops, and then you're watching them shower their goods and everything. All of a sudden, the camera slowly starts moving downwards, and now it's just, you know, pictures of ass shots and everything. And then they're all getting dressed, and so you're just kind of watching them getting dressed, pretty much just to kind of show, you know, how close they are with each other. But
pass me the soap. Also,
huh?
I thought it was so funny when they're showering and then the chicks, can you pass the soap? I was like, oh shit, that's, I ain't sharing no soap with nobody and shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I ain't gonna share no soap with anybody. And I was like, this movie came out in 1982, so how friendly they are with the soap. I mean, yeah, sure, whatever.
And then, like, they show like the chick, like, that's scrubbing, like, she's going down to her fucking, her, you know, she's going scrubbing down there, man, and then she passes it. I'm like, that's so gross.
Rubbing it on her face.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, you go. It's,
as far as this movie, there's not really, you just kind of, you follow one of the main characters, which is, her name is Trish, and this is the girl that's going to end up having the sleepover, more so because the parents aren't going to be there. These girls are all, you know, the main girl ends up saying that she's 18. She, in the beginning, she throws away her, she's throwing away toys and dolls to kind of show her maturity, like to show like how grown up she is. And, you know, her parents are taking off. They have like a trip that they need to get going on. They have an airline trip. So the girl's going to be home by herself. The neighbor says that she's going to keep watch on the main girl. Like, don't worry, I'll watch her for you. The neighbor's a weirdo.
Yeah.
You know, he seems like a straight up dude, but, you know, he's cool in a way, but there's something off about him.
When he just shows up in the house, like later on in the film, it like took me all by surprise and shit.
Yeah. I mean, he just lets himself in, and it wasn't even just him. There's a couple of characters that let themselves into the house.
That blonde Don Johnson wannabe?
Yeah, the damn neighbor with that colorful kind of retro 80s shirt.
That fucking Rodney Dangerfield shirt and shit.
Yeah, his name was David.
Yeah, Mr. Canton or Cantley or something like that.
Yeah, Canant.
Canant, that's what it Canton.
Yeah, Canant.
He looked like a fucking blonde-haired Don Johnson wannabe.
Oh, well, I kid you not. This guy is as straight of this guy looks, I mean, this guy is he's kind of a weirdo in this movie. Like, and like to kind of pinpoint something in the damn movie where I say that he's like a weirdo. The girl's having like this weird, scary moment where she thinks somebody's like watching her from the bushes. So she's like kind of watching. All of a sudden, this figure, which you think is the killer, comes up right behind her with a butcher knife, and he raises it. And the girl's like, wait. She starts moving like some logs. She's like grabbing like firewood. All of a sudden, she sees a snail, and then what comes down is the damn butcher knife. Oh, it's not the killer. It's the damn neighbor. So the damn neighbor ends up like he ends up chopping the snail in half, and he's like, oh, this is the only way to get him.
Didn't scare you, did I?
Yeah. He's like, I killed 53 snails out here today, you know, with a butcher knife.
It's alone, like for example, when they first show the guy at the beginning of the movie, he's like, and he grabs her on the arms. It's like, dude, the kind of shit like adult males could do with minor women back then. Like, you would see it today and just think, man, this guy's a creep. But it was okay in 1982.
Yeah, that was just like the sign of the times. I mean, you can see the differences definitely. There's a lot of things that they were doing in this movie in comparison to now that's, you know, not considered all right, and yet, you know, at least we make ourselves a little more aware or better thinkers, I guess, not to put ourselves in situations like that.
Hey, Gabe, can I ask you real quick? I was born in 1982. I'm assuming you were also?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Oh. Chris loves Chris. That's it. Yeah, that was the extent of the fucking.
That was the best question I've had so far. You know.
Well, the thing is, like, I mean, so Gabe knows and Mark knows too. Like, it's like I will tell you this. I am, after seeing this movie, and I'll leave more of this for the review. I'm glad that I was born in 1982 and not maybe 72 or 73, where I would have grown up watching stuff like this.
Yeah, you know, I often thought about that, and I was like, man. It pisses me off that I wasn't like a teenager during the 80s, because like you hear about all these stories, and a lot of my coworkers, they're older, they're elderly folks, they're older guys, they're all getting ready to retire, and they tell me about, you know, back in my day, and they tell me about things that they used to, you know, they used to do and used to do during that time, and even one of them's like, come on, Gabe, it's time to hit the avenue. Hit the avenue? What the heck is that? And he's all, the avenue, that's where you were at. Anybody that had a nice hot rod, that's where the women were at. Anytime you went to grab a bite to eat or you went to meet up to drink some beers, you go to the avenue, that's where it was at. Well, I don't know where the avenue is. Is that still happening?
Yeah.
No, that was back then. That times have changed. Now there's cops everywhere.
Talk like that.
Huh?
I've heard my uncles talk like that, like on the west side when they were growing up.
Yeah, and I was just like, man. Oh, man, I wish I was like a teenager with you guys. This sounds badass to be a teen during the damn 80s.
Well, shit, but, Joe's dad was whipping dudes' asses at a Mayan theater, shit.
Shit. Well, just, I know we're getting a little sidetracked here. But, I mean, this movie is basically a typical version of the 80s. I mean, these girls, they get together in this house. They already have their beer. They have some weed. They got all the good stuff. And did you all happen to see the snacks that they were getting ready to lay out so they can get ready to party for their slumber party?
I did.
You did a whole plate of Twinkies?
No. When we were like kindergarten age, like there was fucking Twinkies and Hostess cupcakes every fucking where you went.
Oh, I mean, still. But I was just like, I was looking at it. I was like, is that what these girls were eating? They're always talking about, you know, watching what they eat and everything. I guess it's different back then, but
I just remembered like the popcorn and then of course the pizza when the guy gets killed and the chicks eating the pizza. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here?
As far as like to go ahead and better elaborate on that, you know, one of the kills, the girls end up answering the door when the doorbell rings, and all of a sudden it's the pizza guy. Because one of them ended up ordering pizza. But funny enough, this guy has two holes in his eyes.
Yeah.
When they open the door, he falls down dead. So yeah. You're like, oh, snap. You know, the damn killer ended up, you know, getting him. Just to let you all know, for all those listeners, the killer is running around. He's not running around with, like, a butcher knife. He's not running around with an axe. He's got a power drill. He's running around with a power drill killing, you know, just... You know, anybody. I'm, and it's not no little hand drill. I mean, this is like one of those industrial kind of special carbonite drill bits.
That's a super thick drill bit, and it's probably almost 3 feet in length.
Oh, definitely, man. That is like an awesome freaking power drill to be killing people with. So he's running around, and he's killing people with this thing. As far as his background, there's not even much background on his story other than. They say briefly on the radio when one of the girls is getting ready to go on their way to the slumber party that she's listening to the damn radio on the news saying, oh, psychotic killer, I think his name was Russ Thorne. Psychotic killer Russ Thorne killed several people mm-hmm. long ago, has recently escaped. Then she changes it. And that's all you get. That's it.
That fucking alarm clock, I was like, what the fuck, you know, because I had it pretty loud when I was watching. I wasn't expecting it. I'm like, what the fuck, dude, you know?
Dude, that was the best opening sequence there.
I know, it disappointed me because I saw that. I kept seeing the 1969 references on, like, newspapers and shit during the movie, and I heard that radio announcement, so I'm like, okay, so is there going to be some resurrection of some, or some release of some prisoner named Russ Thorne? Like, what the fuck? And, well, I'll let it go.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
Yeah. Oh, go for it.
He's like, when I was in third grade. Now this movie like there was like so many things that like I wasn't following the story other than it was just more like little sequences to where I was like laughing, like when whoever it is in the van, and the killer like attacks her. I don't know if it was his van or her van. I like I said, but. Like, people were, like, these two guys are, like, walking away, and the killer, like, has the balls to, like, grab her and, like, start choking her out, trying to kill her whilst, like, people are right there. I'm like, what the fuck is this? He's like, wait till there's, like, no one in the parking lot or at least 50 feet, but he's, like, right away. I just started, like, you know, like, you're going to hear that van shake if, like, you start having that kind of, you know, rumbling going on. I just, you know, like, shit like that the entire film made me laugh, and he's chasing her, like, through the school, and... You know, even though, like, there's no one in the school, you, like, again, a killer, like, you would be like, well, I mean, the school just emptied out. There's still people that can, oh, I forgot this or I forgot that. Just like that one girl did. You have balls to, like, right away, like, I don't know. I thought it was a pretty funny-ass kind of – but what you would expect from, like, a, you know, a lower-budget kind of slasher. Like, it's something that I would come up with. Why don't she go back into the school alone? Oh, yeah, that's a quick good idea, you know, and – like the whole movie's like this where it's just kind of makes you roll your eyes but you have fun anyway and shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's no real sitting down and thinking about it like a psychological thriller, like, oh, the killer has like a terrible background history where he was abused or anything. Yeah. You know, these girls didn't do anything to antagonize this person to make him want to become a killer, like, you know, urban legend or something like that. No, it's nothing like that. It's simple as there's a psychotic killer who broke out of somewhere that mm-hmm. doesn't say where, it just says somewhere, and he's going after these pretty girls. The only lines he actually has in this damn movie is saying, oh, you guys are, you all are pretty girls. Mm-hmm. You know I love you, and I'm doing this because I love you. You know, it's something along those lines, exactly like that. And that's pretty much about it. Then he just gets in a scuffle, like, with the girls just trying to, you know, he's trying to kill them, and they're fighting for their lives, you know. there's not really much to it other than, like you said, there's just the funny moments and the sequences that lead up to certain things. Like you said, like the girl, there's this girl in the beginning, she's like an electrician or some kind of custodian, and she's like, she's repairing something. Anyways, the van is actually hers. So she's going back to her van, and then this killer is in there. And he ends up, like, attacking he pulls the girl in, and he's attacking the girl, and the girl's, like, yelling for help. But, yeah, like you said, there's people walking around, fucking ballsy move. And he drills her, like, right in the forehead, just ends up killing her.
Yeah.
So who walks by? Another pretty girl, and he's like, oh, well. And that one in particular was Brink Stevens. She's pretty popular in the horror conventions right now. I actually got to get a picture with her. She's a really nice lady. And her name is Linda in the damn movie. And pretty much this is like already, like, you're already into two kills already in the beginning of the damn movie. Because Linda, or Brink Stevens, is already getting chased throughout the damn school. But funny enough, there's like hardly anybody there. So she's getting chased. She gets drilled. It doesn't even really... I don't even think they really showed her other than her screaming. And you just assume that she was dead. But, yeah, I mean, it's just the funny sequences in this damn movie. It's pretty interesting. Like you know, how Chris was ended up saying, like, you know, just like comparison from things were back then into now.
Yeah.
Like, one in particular scene that actually made me laugh pretty good was... one of the in the opening scenes in the beginning, where Trish ends up waking up by her alarm and the radio goes off, and the girl's screaming, and it's a radio host. The radio host is like, "Hey, well, you're our 10th caller. I can't believe it. You made it on here. Oh my God, what did I win? Did I win money? No, you won a T-shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh joy, oh bliss."
Yeah, she says it with such enthusiasm. She's like, "Oh, thanks."
Yeah, well, you think you won some concert tickets or something like that? But yeah, the film with the whole film, the guys are like a bunch of weirdos too. Like, I know, like, there's just like a quick scene to like where the you're thinking one of the girls is gonna get killed on her way home, because you just see like the point of view, like just like a Michael Myers kind of, you know, for, you know, beginning of Halloween, where you would just see his point of view. And you see her do like that fucking hip toss throw, and it's like her boyfriend or whatever. And she's like, "I think you broke my back," and whatever the fuck, and, you know, just shit like that, where you're like, this is so stupid. There's a lot of jump scares in this film too. Again, another one of those things to where you're like, oh, let's have the pretend scare, dude. And like, yeah, there's like a cat scene and shit like that, and where that happens. And it's generic, but it's fun. Like, I can't like. Like you're saying, there's not much like thought put into this movie, but it's one of those things to where, yeah, dude. I mean, it's not gonna be like Sleepaway Camp. Had a lot more over parts, but this one was quick and to the point and all this and that. Like, what's the kid's name in Sleepaway Camp? Ricky. Like, if they would have had Ricky in this film, it would have been like a really over ass film, dude. You know,
I think we need a Ricky in every damn movie, man.
Yeah,
Ricky is just a badass.
Yeah, because like this one, no one really stood out. Like, I mean, they're pretty girls, but it's just kind of like a fun movie. No one to really like, oh, you know, this is like, I guess because they're nothing but chicks and we're dudes, I guess. But yeah, Ricky on the other one, dude, like, you know, that kept me like super engaged, because you're like, whenever he would show up, he was like, oh yeah, eat, you know, eat shit and live and all this and that. So
honestly, I kind of feel like exactly how you said it. This is like straight to the point. There is no build up story. There is no there's not a lot of things in here. And because it's like so straightforward, and like you said, there's like, it's just the over dramatized acting and some of the funny scenes and stuff like that in this movie. I honestly think this is like a fun drinking game movie. If you're one of those people out there that like to go ahead and say, "Hey, man, you know, take a shot every time a girl screams. Go ahead and take two drinks from your beer every time you see a power drill. You know, go ahead and do this to..." Honestly, this is like one of those damn movies. I mean, why get drunk and kind of wait for the story to build up? You know, instead, this is just one of those fun movies. you know, you just see some bad acting in here. You know, it's just they do some silly stuff in here, and it's pretty neat. Like, they had one scene I thought was pretty funny, and I thought they had a good idea, but I kind of felt like it kind of went a silly way. Was these two guys, the boyfriends that were spying on their I can't even say that they're boyfriends. I think they were just, you know, guys just kind of hooking up with the girls or something. Yeah. But anyways, they're spying on the damn girls, and they're drinking, and they're peeking at them while they're undressing and getting into their, you know, more comfortable clothing. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, the boyfriend's already in the house. The girls are already scared. People have already been killed. So the killers, I mean, the boyfriends end up having the idea, saying, "Hey, you know, we got to get for help. This is just the right thing to do. Are you sure?" "Yes." So they come up with a good plan, saying, "All right, here's the plan. You go to the front door, and I'll go through the back door, and we'll go at both ends. One of us will make it, the other one won't." "Well, I hate for it to go that way, but if this is the right thing to do..." you honestly know this is like a terrible idea. Good for them, it was an idea, but it was terrible, though, executed. Yeah. They started off, they split off, and, you know, one ran for help trying to go towards the neighbor's house or someone down the street, while the other one's like, "I'll go cut through the garage, and I'll cut through here, and I'll go over the bushes, jump over the fence, you know, kick the dog, and keep on running." No, well, it doesn't get that far for him, and he gets stuck in the damn garage, and so he ends up getting killed. So he's screaming to death, he gets killed, while the other one, like, actually makes it to, like, a neighbor's house. And sure enough, it's one of the girls. So, it's this one girl that didn't get invited to the damn party, and she's actually the survivor and hero who actually takes down the killer. Anyways, she goes and he ends up going and running to her house, and he's banging on the door, "Help, help." Like, I mean, he's screaming like half to death, you know, "Help him." Sure enough, man, the damn killer, he comes up really fast right behind him, grabs him and throws him in the damn yard. But by the time the girl gets to the front door to go and look through the peephole to see who's there, you know, there's no one there. Well, that's because the dumbasses are all rolling around in the damn grass, you know, trying to fight for each other's life. Mm-hmm. Well, leave it to the damn killer, you know, killer ends up killing the other guy now too. So again, the idea was there, it just wasn't executed that great. But again, this is one of those movies that just kind of wants to get to the point and just says, you know, we don't need the guys, we just want the pretty girls in this movie, just kill them all off, you know.
Noticed as I'm re-sitting, because I mean, Gabe found out I do this, where I have the movie on while we do this.
You tell us every time, but go ahead.
But I caught here that what's his name, Kanant, had told him, what's her name, Trish. He said, "Hey, because one of Trish's friends walked in with that bag of weed."
Yeah.
He says, "Pure 100%, no seed, no stems, you know, whatever." And he's like, "Hey, I won't tell your parents if you promise I'll..." Talking about me nearly scaring you to death, and then she closes the door and then rolls her eyes after she closes the door. I'm like, I didn't catch that. Like, I already thought he was a creep, and now I really fucking think he's a creep after that.
Like, yeah, just kind of like, what's he like? Oh, so he was in the house with you, you know, y'all were alone. Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, what the fuck. But
I guess on that note, I mean, I guess I was thinking differently, because this chick has like a bag of weed there, and she's talking about like how great it is. And you're right, the damn neighbor, that Kanant, David dude, walks in, lets himself inside the damn house. He must be really on good friendly basis for him to just kind of walk in. But he walks in and he sneaks up right behind her and he's all, "Look, I'm not going to tell your mom about that, but just kind of don't mention anything about me scaring you earlier. Oh, okay. And I kind of
in your bedroom sniffing your panties. Don't say anything about that shit.
Yeah, I won't last in prison. I'll be someone's bitch in 2 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess from my point of view, I was like, oh, son of a bitch, it's pretty cool, man. He's not going to rat me out. Yeah. Pretty badass. I was like, yeah, we don't need no narcs here. Neighbor's pretty cool. But then I was thinking, I was like, oh, yeah, he is kind of weird, running around with a butcher knife, letting himself inside the house. And I was like, you know, and just the way he looks at these girls and just talks to them, like, in the middle of the night, out there by themselves in the driveway. Yeah, he does seem kind of pervy.
You know what would be really, really cool is, like, without, like, just how he talked out this movie, didn't have any kind of, like, mystery. It's just straight up, right? Like, it wouldn't have showed the killer for the most part other than you see that it's a guy, but you don't see his face or anything. And then, like, all those things where, like, he was, like, chopping the knife to kind of make us, you know, like say, is he the killer? He's the neighbor and he snuck in and we don't know. And then all of a sudden we see the real killer kill him. That would have been like a nice little, not like the majority of the movie, but like a little twist where like, oh, he must be the killer. He's next door and, you know, he's killing other people. And, you know, cause he's like a weirdo. Like, yeah. Like he just like, she's out there and he just fucking slices that slug. And then, I don't even know what it was. I wasn't paying attention about this. So I'm like, what the fuck's he doing? And then he's in the house and scares her. I'm like, what is this? You know, and then we're talking about it. I'm like, that would have been a cool little, you know, the way they did the first Friday the 13th would have made you guess for a little bit, but they're like, nah, fuck all that.
Yeah, man, exactly. Like that, but there's really, like, I have to emphasize that this is no, there is no hidden details in this new mystery.
Yeah.
It's just straight out, like, let's kill something, you know. It's pretty neat, and I enjoyed that about this film. Like, they just get straight to the point, so it generally just kind of keeps you interested, because you're like, well, shit, they already killed two people. Then on that radio, they said already that they announced that previously he already killed 5 people. Then it just jumps back into it, and then he's already, you know, let's go ahead and keep everyone interested, probably more so the guys. Let's go ahead and get these girls naked and start changing clothes and starting to have some real, you know, girl fun. Okay, let's include the killer again. Let's go ahead and have him start doing shit. So, like, badass little scenes is, I kid you not, he slits a throat. And I mean, just by swinging the damn drill bit, he's just swinging his big ass drill and he cuts his girl's throat. Another one, he ends up cutting the girl's stomach, but not enough where the guts are all coming out or anything. He just kind of slices them like right then and there. And I mean, man, this guy has precision. Like, I don't know where he got that damn drill, but man, it's badass. Yeah. And he's got some skill there. As they further along in the damn movie, I mean, after the nudity and, you know, the damn kills, one of the girls actually starts getting brave and says, like, she's in the basement. She's aware of him. So she's, like, trying to figure out. She's looking on the wall, and there's a bunch of tools. And she's all like, well, shit, I got to get something. I can get his ass with one of these. So she grabs a pair of scissors. She's like, nope. She grabs a hammer, and she's like, nah-uh. Oh, look at that, a power saw. Why not? He has a power drill. Why not a power saw? So she's all ribbed up. She's all hyped up. She's thrilled. She's ready to kill. And she starts running upstairs from the basement. And then right when she gets to the basement door so she can go at him, oh, she ends up falling back down because the damn power saw was connected to a damn power cord. So it yanked her dumb ass back down the damn stairs. And she's like, well, shit. She's all, now she's got to figure out another way to taking this guy down. Well, guess what she ends up finding? A damn machete. Mm-hmm. So here she comes up. Now she thinks she's Jason, and she's like a badass killer. So she goes up with the machete. She meets up with the damn serial killer, and she starts having a damn sword fight with the damn power drill killer. They're going back and forth. She chops his damn hand off. She chops his damn hand off. She ends up cutting off the tip of his drill. I kid you not. She hurts this guy pretty damn bad.
Yeah.
And she stabs him twice, doesn't she?
Yeah.
She ends up.
Well, I know.
I think she.
I know once he gets out the pool, that's when he, like, impales him or whatever. I don't know. But I know she kicks his ass before all that shit. Yeah, I mean, like, it was just a good old ass whooping. You know, finally, you know, how he kills everyone so brutally. You know, it was kind of funny to see him get it, like, fucking horrible at the end.
Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, they're right there in a standoff. It's like a good old cowboy showdown.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here she comes. That damn machete ends up cutting off the tip of that damn power drill. And the killer's just looking at it like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
He's all, that's a powerful ass, you know, machete. I mean, as big as that drill bit is.
Yeah.
She breaks it off. Ends up cutting off his hand. She ends up hurting this guy pretty badly, and she shoves him into the pool. So you think, like, okay, he's in the pool. There's blood everywhere, all in the pool. You know he's going to bleed out because of the damn water. You know, that's it. You know, what is it called? Osmosis, right? Is that what happens when you bleed to death with water? I think.
No, huh? No. Bleed to death, water. Oh, no, osmosis is when something gets through a wall. You know, like, without actually breaking the wall.
Oh, yeah, it's like, there's like a name for it. Anyways, he ends up bleeding out. And so you think, like, okay, that's it. The girls are all, the very few girls that are actually still alive, which one, the hero, the girl, the one with the machete, her little sister happens to be there. Her name is Courtney. And she's kind of a goof in this damn movie. She doesn't really do anything notable other than, you know, just be a nuisance. And but anyways,
a magazine with Stallone on the cover of it.
Yeah,
having that on her face.
Playgirl magazine.
Yeah. Yeah, I started laughing when I saw that. I was like, "What the fuck?"
She said she was reading she was studying her biology and all of this.
I forgot about that one weirdo kid, chick or whatever. Supposed to be a kid. Like he had my his tongue in my mouth. I wanted to throw up. Some stupid.
Did your fucking cinema snob go, oh, she's clearly got to be celebrating her sweet 26th birthday.
Oh, my God. I started laughing. It must be her sweet 26. I started laughing.
Yeah, this girl, she's definitely in her mid-20s. But, yeah, and she's dressed up and acting like she's all, you know,
all bratty and stupid and shit. Yeah, like, fucking...
yeah, that's what I said. She doesn't do anything notable. She's just a damn nuisance. Anyways, her sister and everyone's all traumatized. They couldn't believe the whole events that took place. They're all blown away. Their friends are dead. I mean, who else is going to be upset? Of course, you know, everyone else, you know, they're all, their boyfriends are dead. Everyone's dead. And then guess what happens? Just like every, like, horror movie, you know, especially like Jason, as, you know, mentioned earlier, you know, this guy just pops out of the damn water. He climbs out, jumps onto the damn hero. You're like, oh, shit, this guy has no hand. You thought he was dead because he bled out. No, he just gets impaled with the damn machete, just like Cujo, you know, just damn dog ends up jumping on him. Gets impaled, and now he's finally dead. So leave it to the last scream of the damn night, or for that night for these people, is damn Courtney, the bratty little nuisance. And she ends up like, oh, she's like so traumatized. So guess what happens? Part two. And part two happens to have that girl in there.
Oh, and, shit. I'm interested. Yeah.
Yep. So pretty much there's some flashbacks to part one, but overall, part two is amazing. It's nothing like part one, and it doesn't just get straight to the point. It actually has a little build-up story in it. It's not like this one. So I encourage everyone, you need to see part two. You want a good laugh riot, good rock and roll 80s theme, you need to watch part two. Part one's fun. It's great. You know, you love the topless, you love the murders, but I'm sorry, part two is... I'm all the way part two.
you had shown me some, like, you know, gifs of, like, the guitar drill and everything, and then I checked out some scenes on there, because I was like, this looks completely different, like you said, than the first one. And it's, like, just from what I've seen, like, I haven't seen the film, I have no knowledge, but just these little gifs and little clips, it seems kind of like a Freddy Krueger type dream looking kind of movie. The colors are bright and it's all over the top from what I can see. And you told me it's like a rock and roll thingy, so I'm like, wow, this is gonna be a lot of fun. And like, I love those kind of films, like the horror movies that are like over the top, that are like, I think it's what we call Brain Scan. I don't know if, have you seen that, Gabe?
I know I've heard of it. I don't remember it.
It's it has Edward Furlong, and like he plays this game where he turns into like a serial killer, and like this fucking rock, he looks like a rock and roll demon comes. It's like kind of like similar, but it reminded me of that. We'll do that one of these days, also. But yeah, I'm interested as fuck to see it. We'll probably do it within our next like two or three reviews. I'm gonna try and like mix it up to where like we're like, you know, it's cool to go, like I've said before, to go to like a Universal monster movie, and then you go to a paranormal movie, and then you go do a slasher, and then you go do like something that's new, you know, that's brand new. So I like to mix it up. It kind of gives you that breath of fresh air whenever you're seeing something, rather than doing, like we've talked about so many times before, like 10 Michael Myers films in a row, and Chris wants to pull his hair out and he thinks part five is badass, and he gives H2O an 8.5. So speaking of speaking of a rating, you know, Chris, what's your rating on this, and your overall thoughts, your enjoyment? Just let it all out there, dude.
I'm going to give it a 6.75. Because it's easy to follow. It's enjoyable. It's not too long. It's just a quick, simple, easy, kind of fun movie. But, you know, shitty character development, shitty story, shitty, you know, telling the story. Like, okay, so Valerie is hated by all the other girls. Why? I don't get it. Like, you did not effectively explain that to me. Or if you're not going to explain to me why the other girls hate her, then at least fucking show her getting fucked with, like, and shit like that. Like, I didn't really see much instance of that. Like, I mean, come on, this is the early 80s. Like, bullying was the cool thing to do back then. What the fuck? You've explained nothing to me. But, I mean, again, and then, I mean, like you said, the weapon looks fucking badass. Like, visually, that fucking long-ass, thick drill bit looks great. And the dude in his eye looks like a fucking psycho, which I love lunatics. But the thing is, I mean, well, Joe's like, well, you're a rare one, so of course you love me. I tell Mark, like, I'll be watching American Psycho, and he'll say to me, why are you watching that? You live it every day. So, when you think about it, just logically, like, me.
Armenian being Psycho and shit.
Yeah, like me, but me being Mr. Help Me Suspend Disbelief. Yeah, if you get someone point on with that fucking drill, but yeah, you're going to fuck them up. But it's not something you hit somebody with to the side with, and it would really do a whole lot, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of limited with what you can do with that weapon. You know, I thought it was like, this movie's gimmicky as fuck. Like, you can tell these people, when they thought of the idea, they're like, well, he's got to have a weapon. What's going to be a weapon that, you know, like, I can hear these discussions in my, you know, when I was watching this film. And then why does he use a power drill? Because, like, no one uses that shit, you know what I mean? So it's like, well, yeah, they've got a chainsaw already. They got the butcher knife. Why don't we use the power drill and shit? So, I mean, you could tell it wasn't overly thought, you know, like there was not a lot of thought put into this film. But it's just fun for the sake of being fun. And you could tell, like, whoever came up with this idea just was like, you know what, let's just make a horror movie and let's just make it fun. And that's what they did. I didn't find, like you said, like, this seems like really, really like a good time to watch on Halloween when you're like, let's just watch a bunch of fucking horror movies. This is one that, even though, like, the first, like, 30 minutes of it are kind of not boring, but there's not, it's just like just deaths and deaths and like stupid deaths, but there's nice titties. But that second half, like the last 30 minutes, it's just like it's fun, and you're like, man, this is like it picks up a little bit more to where the mindlessness is okay because it's so back to back of deaths and, you know, this is going on, that's going on, instead of like we're just seeing a girl walk around for no reason, like walking home and then the boyfriend's jump scaring him and whatever, so or jump scaring her. For me, when I first put it on, like, yeah, I was like, man, this is kind of shitty at first, you know, like, oh, this generic kill in the van. I'm like rolling my eyes. But like I said, it got really good towards the end and kind of made me laugh once we saw the killer and him. He's talking, you know, like, you're very pretty or you're so pretty, whatever the fuck. And I was like, oh, shit, that is Chris, you know. So for me, it's tough for me to rate it, but I'm going to say, yeah, like a 6.5. I think it's fun. It's the killer's the only memorable thing about it, you know, like I would have liked for them to give him a little bit more, but I mean it's good for what it is. It's an 82 slasher during this time. I mean, you saw the quality of Sleepaway Camp. Like, I love Ricky and everything else, but there wasn't anything that stood out. Like, this one was like way better kills and shit, you know, all that shit. You got the drill. So it's just fun, just a fun ass movie. Yeah, 6.5 out of 10. Mr. G.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm going to give this movie a solid 7. 7 shots. 7 avocados. I kid you not. This movie is fun. It's good. You know, the girls are damn well pretty in here. You know, like you said, you know, the killer is pretty memorable, especially running around with that damn drill. You know, it's straight to the point. There's no playing around, no silly banter. You know, there's always like, there's maybe like one or two silly banters, like I said, like the young little sister who's a bit of a nuisance in here. It doesn't really have anything notable in here, but all in all, I mean, it's pretty neat. You know, and it just kind of goes along with, like, if you're looking for slasher movies, I mean, you can add that to that list. I mean, this is a slasher movie, and it's you know, if you want to try to look more in depth into it, and you think there's more to the story, or you're trying to find more, I mean, by all means, try to have at it. I mean, anything you make up, really. I mean, it probably go well with it. But overall, no, it's fun. It seems like this is a guys type of movie, you know. So yeah, I'm giving it 7. And like I said, the greatest thing about this damn movie is how it leads up to a part 2. And part 2 was definitely fun for me. I recommend that one strongly over part 1. But no, part 1 is good. It's a chill movie. You know, why not?
Yeah. No, I like I said, it's hard to like try to put it over too much, because it's like, oh, it's not like a great film, but I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Like, I enjoyed these kind of movies, and quality wise, I mean, if we're talking like the Slumber Party Massacre versus other movies that are similar to this, this one definitely stands out as a much better film than like some other shit that I've seen during this time, or, you know, like movies. So yeah, like, I mean, I wouldn't mind giving it a 7. Just that I don't want to give it that solid, like, you know, yeah, just because I've only seen it like twice, and I'm sure like most of our films that we like, well, I'll want to watch again just for the fuck of it that we review, and I'm like, man, I wish I would have gave it a better rating. And I think this film too, like, I'll probably like it more on more watches. Like, I like the fuck out of Daniel Isn't Real, but like, I haven't seen it since the last time, and like, now I want to see it again because I'm like, man, I bet you I'll like it even more now because I'm kind of familiar, you know, what to expect. And I don't know, it's a really good shit. But any closing thoughts before we talk about our next film we're gonna be doing?
I don't really have much. You know, I'm looking forward to our next film that we're gonna review, which is Halloween Resurrection. So I'm looking forward to seeing some Busta Rhymes in there. You know, that's going to be a treat for me. So yeah. I know that's funny.
Yeah, you know, it's always cool to like, because I don't even think I watched it other than like the first 5 or 10 minutes the last time me and Chris were going to do it, like a year ago or whatever. Because we got to Resurrection, right, Chris? We did H2O.
We did H2O.
And then we were going to do Resurrection, but the recording for H2O didn't come out right, so we kind of like just abandoned it for a while. So, yeah, I remember putting on Resurrection. That's, see, now I'm remembering. I put on Resurrection in like the first 5 or 10 minutes. I was like, man, fuck this. I was like, I need to be like mentally prepared to sit down and watch. I think it was watching, because I didn't like H2O. I think I forgot what I had given it, but it was like a 6 or 7. It was pretty bad, you know. Anyway, I think now, kind of going back into it, I mean, it's still going to be bad, but I'll be able to kind of like laugh at the shit now. Like sit there and sit through the nonsense, because, you know, it's been a while since I've seen a Michael Myers film in full. So, you know, it's always interesting. But Chris, any thoughts on Resurrection before we, you know, before we talk about the review next time? So you have a little something to go to.
I'm going to love laughing at it.
That's it, huh? Okay, great. Like, okay, all right.
It's that stupid fucking cheesy early 2000s, late 90s horror. To me, the franchise would have been fine ending it at fucking H2O, and it would have made perfect logical sense, and they had to do this stupid-ass Resurrection. But I'm going to have fun trashing it.
Yeah, I can't wait to kind of mix it all up, like I said. So if you guys like the channel, we're going to be doing we're going to be finishing up the Hellraiser franchise. We're going to be starting up some Universal Monsters mixed in. I'm sure Gabe will come up with some shit. We talked about doing some werewolf movies. I love me some vampire movies. We got the Fright Nights. It's kind of one of those things to where, you know, we typically have a good idea what we're going to do the next three films, depending on what's streaming, what we're in the mood for. So, anyway, you can find us on, was it Spotify, Chris? And what's the other shit that we're on?
I'll list every platform we're on. We are on Google Podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Player FM. Tune in.
Are we on Google Play, or is that's not a thing anymore?
No, Google Podcast is what we're on.
Oh, okay. So if you're listening to on a platform that's not, you know, that whatever, check us out on YouTube, because we have a lot more shit on YouTube if you're not checking us out on YouTube. So anyway, if you guys have any requests, send a message on the YouTube platform. It's the easiest way to get a hold of us. We're on Instagram. You can find Gabe on there, man, Beast01 or Master of the Universe Podcast. And we'll see you motherfuckers on the next one.
Man, you got to be shitting me. That mother's strong.
Peace. Stay classy.